Sunday, December 5th at Verizon Center.
This program may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Solutions Developers Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency might be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now, your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today I'm here with Kevin Paschuk, who's the Vice President, Public Sector for Right Now Technologies. How are you doing, Kevin?
Good. Thank you, John.
Now, before the show, I was telling you that I spent about 2 hours last night with a bunch of software developers fighting and back and forth about what the cloud is, what the cloud isn't, private, public, hybrid. And I'm sure that many of my listeners have some of those questions. So I like to bring in different kind of organizations to talk about what the cloud is and how it can serve my listeners who are mostly frustrated federal IT professionals trying to figure out how to move to the cloud or how to avoid the cloud. So I thought we'd bring you in. But first of all, tell us a little bit about your background, Kevin, how you wound up working for Right Now Technology.
Yeah, sure, John. So I've been in the software industry for a little over 15 years. Started right out of college, actually, with Oracle. Spent a little over 11 years there. And about 4 years ago, I left to come to Right Now Technologies. And the primary reason, actually, for me leaving was cloud was just coming into the technology world, and felt that the cloud computing itself would be kind of the next revolution within the IT environment. And you know, we went from mainframes to client server to web, and now we're at cloud.
Yeah, we're doing something like that. And Right Now Technologies, it's been working with the federal government for a few years. Tell us a little about the history of that company, where it's based, and what kind of services it offers for my listeners.
Sure. So Right Now Technologies, we're the leading provider of cloud computing to the federal government. In fact, we've got over 170 clients today running in a cloud. We've been serving the federal government for a little over 10 years. NSA actually was our first customer. The company started out 13 years ago where we offered the service, what we used to call on-demand, which has now become cloud, or on-premise. Today, we strictly sell our service to organizations only in the cloud. And the solutions that we're selling are really around citizen experience or CRM, customer relationship management.
Yeah, when I think of CRM, I think of kind of traditional organizations like Microsoft has a CRM program, and Salesforce.com has a kind of a customer relationship or a citizen relationship management program. This new variation on CRM, and you have something called CX. Is that a variation on that, or how does that all work?
Yeah, so unlike the Salesforce.com and the Oracles and the rest of CRM providers who focus on B2B, more of a sales approach, hence the name Salesforce.com. We focus on more citizen experience, or CX is actually stands for customer experience, and obviously in the government, it's either citizen experience or warfighter experience. And so we focus on the citizen to an agency or citizen to citizen experience versus a more of a sales approach.
I was at your website Right Now, R-I-G-H-T, rightnow.com, and there's a white paper there on cloud-based customer experience management solutions for government. So we take the word citizen, and maybe it's more of a customer, but this is how I think many of my listeners have to start thinking of as serving customers or serving citizens. Is that right?
Absolutely. I mean, in our daily lives, we interact with the Zappos.com and the Amazons.com, and we have these great customer or citizen experiences, and then we work with a government agency, we're expecting those same type of interactions. And so the government really has to start thinking about citizen experience. In fact, OMB, I think it was 2 weeks ago, released a new study and is putting some guidelines around each organization and what they need to really do to provide better citizen experience.
Yeah, that's kind of important. Now, with a citizen experience, from a technical perspective, in serving citizens, when I think of cloud, I think of things that are scalable, things that can add capacity pretty quickly. Katrina pops up, you can be flexible and add capacity, you can scale up. But I also think of the downside, which is latency. Is that a question you get frequently from end users?
Yeah, you know, I think early on, latency was a big issue. We actually come out with what we call our cloud services agreement, and part of that, it's a kind of a wholesale shift in contracting, and we believe in offering SLAs, money back guarantees. So we offer the government a performance based contract that if we don't meet certain uptime and speed, we owe the money back. And so in the government world, it's you get penalized. So it's a little different commercially.
So that kind of destroys that argument, huh?
Well, it's, you know, because we believe we've been doing it for 13 years. And, you know, if our site's down or if our site's slow, nobody wants to buy our solution, right? And so it's very critical that we have it up at all times and secure.
So some people will talk about the public cloud, the private cloud, maybe a hybrid cloud. How do you define the clouds?
Yeah, so you know, we're in line with NIST definition. And so as you said, John, right, there's the public cloud, the private cloud, the hybrid cloud, and the community cloud is the fourth type of cloud. And so there's various clouds. And so if anyone goes out to the NIST website, they've got a bunch of research and guidance on it. Right now, technology specifically, we have three types of clouds that we offer. So the first type is very similar to a NetSuite or Salesforce.com, which is a commercial cloud, very secure, but not built to the NIST guidelines. And the second type of offering we offer is a NIST moderate level. So we have a contract with GSA where we've built our cloud and have an authority to operate equivalent to the FedRAMP standards that are coming out. And many other government organizations today have a moderate level CNA authority to operate with us. And so that's the second type of cloud. So that's more of a private cloud run commercially. And then the last one we have is a defense cloud partnership with DISA, Defense Information Systems Agency, where it's running on the NIPRNet, DICAP certified, which is the CNA version for defense. And this cloud here is operated and managed from the infrastructure to the hardware to the network by DISA. And we come in, government-furnished equipment, and manage our application in their cloud. So it's a unique offering.
So FedRAMP is the Federal Risk and Authorization Program. And I think this concept of authorization, boy, that, you know, that really is a hot topic. I mean, so many different issues. I mean, when it comes to personal identity cards, authorization is important. When it comes to using clouds and privileges, it's important. This is how you would differentiate between moderate and some different types of services available. Authorization, is that a key part of your services that you offer?
Yeah. In fact, John, part of the service that we offer is day one, we provide a certification and accreditation artifact. So there's 5-6 artifacts, you know, the POAM, which is the plan of actions and milestones for any risk. There's a security assessment plan, so forth and so on. So we hired third-party consultants to come in, and each release of our software, we give the government a full artifact package. And from there, they just need to take it, and usually what they do, they look at our other customers that already have authority to operate, and then really piggyback on what they've done. And so we've done 99% of the work. The final 1% is the security officer at the agency reviewing the package, making any additional agency-specific requirement enhancements, which we then modify the application to meet, and then receiving a full authority to operate.
I was talking with I work for a small company, and the HR person was talking about changing some of the medical coverages, and he said that people just don't like change. I don't think my listeners like changing, and they resist changing, moving to the cloud. Maybe we'll take a break and come back and talk about some of the changes that are in store when you move to the cloud, and then some of the benefits that are there as well. You have been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Kevin Paschuk, Vice President, Public Sector of Right Now Technologies.
Federal news and information just got more fun and interesting. Amy Morris joins Tom Temin on The Federal Drive, weekday mornings from 6 to 10. Tom and Amy tailor their show for Feds on the Go with usable information from trustworthy and seasoned journalists. You're going to learn, but they also might make you laugh. The Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Amy Morris, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Kevin Paschuk, Vice President, Public Sector of Right Now Technologies. And right now, I want to jump on this concept of FedRAMP and authorization. I think it's really something that everyone has to come to grips with and have a thorough understanding of in order to make the transition to the cloud.
So John, you know, what the government's doing with FedRAMP is it's long overdue. I mean, the OMB and Vivek Kundra had authored a study where they looked at just the Department of State and what they were doing around certification and accreditations. And what they did is they looked at 150 applications, and they looked at what it took over a four-year period to certify and accredit these applications. And it was astounding, like $150 million over that four-year period. And each one of those applications were doing their own certification and accreditation.
Similar type process. It's reinventing the wheel for each organization.
Absolutely.
Huh?
And so what FedRAMP is going to accomplish is, you know, they're going to take away from the everybody having to do their own and really adopt these new NIST standards. So NIST has come out with, I think it's 50 additional controls on top of the standard moderate 853 baseline, and this will become the new FedRAMP standards. And so there will be a board of basically security officers who will review an application and certify and accredit it. And from there, once you've got the certification and accreditation once, you could go from agency to agency. And then that agency has the choice of, hey, you know, I don't want to spend any money to certify and credit it. I'll take the FedRAMP accreditation and I'm done. And that's doing two things. One, it's obviously saving them cost. But secondly, it's saving them time. I mean, anybody that's gone through a certification and accreditation in the government knows that, you know, if you're installing your own servers, you've got to certify and credit them, and then the application itself. And it, you know, I've seen it take 12 months. And so, the net of it is, you know, less cost for the government, faster time to implement.
So, from a perspective of a listener, so let's say I'm a program manager for the federal government, and you know, I kind of resist having my data stored off-site. That's just one of the things. But it's going to be more productive. And I can say, well, geez, maybe I'll get stuff online faster because we can use some of these FedRAMP services. But still, I gotta change my mind. I have to, instead of thinking of buying a server and plugging it down the hall, I have to consider a contract for services. It's switching the way I handle all my IT.
Yeah, you know, I think in some regards it's a change, but quite frankly, the government has been doing, you know, cloud computing in a sense for years, where they've hired these prime contractors to run and manage the data centers, and that's no different than the cloud. You know, it's instead of contractor owned and operated, we've changed the name and called it cloud computing. At the simplest level, there are some differences. But the government, you know, I've been in many data centers, and I've seen servers under people's desks. I've seen like the HP or the Sun guy walking in the data center doing maintenance. And to my mind, that's, you know, unaccompanied by someone in the government, right? And so these are all security risks that that are inherent in government today. And so I would tell you that in most circumstances, if you have a reputable cloud vendor who has this moderate level baseline or above, and is following the guidelines of NIST, 9 times out of 10, it's going to be more secure than what the government has today in most cases.
And I don't think my listeners should beat themselves up, because I've been in many data centers myself. I've seen in the commercial world, I've seen servers in hall closets. I've seen telephone systems next to water. The things I've seen, I'm stunned at some of the things I've seen. So, you know, people kind of evolve, and someone gets fired and someone walks into a situation where they just are shocked. So it's I don't think my listeners should be surprised at anything that the reporter has seen in the area of servers and types of equipment in the IT area. Your company has been placed in the magic quadrant for web services for a lot of commercial applications. So a lot of success in the commercial area, and you're transferring the success for our federal listeners as well. Is that right?
That's correct. So we, you know, as you mentioned, Gartner, we're ranked higher than anybody else in all combined of customer experience. So that includes the web, self-service, that includes social, so social media, and it also includes contact center. And so most of our government customers today are using one, if not all three, of those solutions. And when I say contact center, it could be the traditional contact center or case management. You know, so for example, United States Air Force who actually sits in our DISA cloud. We manage HR data, PII data, personal identifiable information in our cloud, and we're doing case management for them as well as traditional call center and help desk.
Now, when I think of a call center, I think of a room full of people with headsets and answering telephones. And so how do you define call center?
Yeah, so we define it the way our customers define it. I mean, it's, you know, some people call it call center, other people call it contact center. At the end of the day, it's about providing better experiences, better information to the citizens. And so it could be, you know, people in a room answering some phones, but you know, we tend to believe that, you know, with our application, you know, work at home agents, which is now becoming more popular, especially we're seeing some trends even in the government. It could be contact centers or call centers that are stood up and then shut down. So we had a program with Veteran Affairs. You know, they're one of our largest civilian customers, but they had a unique need for a 6-week contact center to be stood up immediately. As the soldiers are coming back from the war and, you know, they're trying to get their benefits.
That makes perfect sense. Let me take a quick break and come back, talk more about this call center and serving citizens, but also serving veterans that come back and talk about some of the risks and benefits of operating in the cloud. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Veterans Radio 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Kevin Paschuk, Vice President, Public Sector for Right Now Technologies.
In Depth with Francis Rose, Monday through Friday, 1 to 3 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Want to know how Congress is affecting your agency's staffing and budget? Want to learn more about the relationship between your agency and its contractors? In Depth helps you become a better manager by exploring the best ways to manage projects, manage your workforce, and manage yourself. In Depth with Francis Rose, weekday afternoons from 1 to 3 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Kevin Paschuk, Vice President, Public Sector Right Now Technologies. The technology we're talking about is the cloud and trying to define it. And I think one interesting aspect of the cloud and this cloud service is the transition I see away from email. I have a son who's 21 years old. He has some friends who are in Afghanistan. They come back, and they're kind of interested in some of their benefits and maybe going back to school and find out what to do. And maybe they're reluctant to pick up the phone, but they may have a call center. And so I think what the cloud does is give you that flexibility of how is society changing and react to that in an efficient manner.
Yeah, absolutely, John. So the hottest trend lately is, you know, multi-channel service. And when you mention your son and he, you know, he prefers the text, but somebody else could prefer to go to Facebook, right, and interact with an organization. They may want to chat with somebody, right? They're used to Instant Messenger. So regardless of what channel that you deploy, the key thing is to make sure that it's consistent with the same information. And the key thing there is all about the knowledge foundation. And if you have disparate channels, you're gonna risk getting different information to your customers. I mean, think about calling into a call center, talking to an agent, and she tells you one thing, but then you go to the organization's website and it's a completely different set of information. Very frustrating. So as you deploy these channels, very critical to start with a common knowledge foundation and then build all your channels off of that foundation.
And you know, I read an article in preparing for this interview, and it mentioned your CEO, Greg Gianforte.
Gianforte.
And he said, you know, we've been doing a cloud a while, and I think your organization's been doing a cloud. And because I've been doing this for so many years, I'm rooted back in old hardware, and I'd always take a look at a CPU and see what percentage of the CPU was running, and it'd be 5 to 7%. And then 10 years ago, this was 5 to 7%. Now my guys in the data center looking at the CPUs, 5 to 7%. I mean, it's just, you have all this wasted capacity, and I think a transition to the cloud can be agile and take advantage of all that excess capacity that's sitting in servers all over the world, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the benefits of the cloud, right? I mean, it's to reduce the 80% of your infrastructure cost. And, you know, one of the things that still hasn't really changed in the cloud is I look at the IT side. I think people have embraced that, right? I mean, people are starting to trust the cloud. The government has FedRAMP, right? They're saying cloud is, you should be looking at cloud first due to the lower cost of infrastructure. But what hasn't really transformed yet across the industry is the contractual side, right? And so when I look at software vendors, for example, selling perpetual licenses, making the customer guess and buy these big enterprise-wide licenses up front, it's not really in the spirit of the cloud. And so we've launched something what we call our cloud service agreement. And it's a meter-based, right? And it's don't buy any software that you don't need. You know, we're out to eliminate shelfware. And so the IT side is taken care of, but the contractual side and the spend, I still think there's a lot of room for transformation there.
You know, when you think of wasting capacity, most people think about CPUs that are only using 8% of its capability. But I never thought of a license. If you bought 100 licenses for software, that's also capacity that's not being used, is it? I mean, it's just taking from a physical type capacity to a logical capacity. It's waste is waste.
Correct. And you know, I go into customers 9 times out of 10. They, you know, when they want to buy our solution, they say, "Well, we'd like to talk about an enterprise-wide license," and that's just not the right approach. I mean, think about, you know, typical implementations. Even in the cloud, if it's 60 or 90 days, you shouldn't have to buy a single license for that implementation, right? And historically, software vendors say, "Buy up front, buy more than you need, and I'll give you some great discount." You know, our approach is a little different. It's like, don't buy any license you don't need. In fact, let's get a conservative guess. And then let's look over just 12 months. And if the implementation is going to take 3 months, let's not buy any licenses for those 3 months. And at the end of the 12 months, let's either true the licenses up or down instead of locking you into a long-term 5-year contract. So there's a lot of savings still to be had. Unfortunately, I think government acquisition hasn't come out with the same guidelines that the technology side is the cloud has in government.
It's the same thing in the world of software development, where people want to take and set up a list of requirements in concrete, and then 1 year later come up with a system. Well, the requirements going to change in 6 or 8 months, and so in my world of software development, people want to be agile and flexible, and that's the terminology, agile during the process of the development, rather than, you know, getting a crystal ball out. And, oh, I got a great crystal ball here. We'll know exactly what's going to happen in 2013. Well. I don't know who does. Maybe someone does, but not me, Kevin.
Right, right. And as we talk about waste, you know, another thought is, you know, so many times, not only the government, but just any organization will evaluate a solution on PowerPoint. And it's like, well, with the cloud, let's evaluate it, you know, real time. Let's do a pilot. Let's start with the area of highest impact first. And you know what? After 30, 60, 90 days, if the solution doesn't meet your needs, don't buy it. And so, you know, that's another, you know, kind of tip that I'd give to the government is like, you know, go away from the PowerPoint demos and make vendors prove the value before the long-term investment.
We had Jim York in here talking about agile software development, and he talked about failing early and failing often. And he said, no, if you fail early, it's better to fail early than failing at the end of the project when you've committed all kinds of resources. If you fail early, you can take and redirect and maybe find out what mistakes you made and go in a new direction.
Yes. So, to your point, right? You know, no more big RFPs, you know, monolithic, you know, implement all the modules that any company has. It's like, start small, prove the ROI and add on from there.
We've had a quick discussion here on the cloud. We'll have to have you back more in about, I'd say in about 6-8 months and find out about the CNA process and how much it's really changed for the cloud and what kind of reception you've gotten in all kinds of different levels of the federal government. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guest Kevin Paschuk, Vice President, Public Sector, Right Now Technologies. Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you, John.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Solutions Developers Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 11, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.
Here's Nigel Ballard, Manager, Director of Federal Marketing at Intel, on the Federal Teleworking Panel sponsored by FedsTelework.com, HP, Intel, and Microsoft.
Our people may have to connect from a coffee shop in Tasmania. And how do they do that? They create a VPN tunnel. and it's just like they're there. And now we use video conferencing and all those kind of instant messenger technologies built into our Office 2010. And I do not need to get my car out of the garage and go into an office to be fully functioning.
If you haven't heard, the 2010 Telework Enhancement Act passed recently. FedScoop's Feds Telework recent panel discussion can give you the information you need to implement an effective telework program within your agency. Go to FedsTelework.com to view videos from top Fed execs, read more on telework resources, and be social with Feds Telework. Find telework solutions for security, mobility, and productivity from HP, Intel, and Microsoft. Work is something you do, not somewhere you go. Learn about the future of telework.